Well, I'm glad you were able to swim or paddle or, you know, canoe your way here this morning. God is good. I don't know about you, but he broke the drought at my house. But we are grateful for his blessings, all of them. The physical blessings he provided, and just like Tony reminded us, the physical blessings that he gives us, the weather blessings that he gives us, the spiritual blessings that he gives us, and he gives us all of our blessings. Every good thing comes from God. And today's portion of Scripture helps us see, because the temptation is to separate things in our life. I got a church life and I got a work life. Or I have my spiritual life and I got my everything else life. And it is, we are not meant to be like that. We are meant to be one. And so we're going to take a look at the end of Acts chapter 4 this morning. But I'd like us to pray together and ask the Lord to lead our hearts in hearing his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to participate in your eternal kingdom. And today, as we learn more about that, and as we follow the early church and the early believers in the book of Acts, I pray, Father, that our participation will truly be as it is called to be, and be an active participation. We thank you, Father, for including us in your eternal plans. We thank you, Father, for making us a part of your eternal family. And we thank you, Father, for seeing fit to empower us to be a part of your eternal work. We know that the things that you are doing last beyond ourselves, and that you've included us to be a part of something lasting. And we are very grateful for that. We love you, and we thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 4. So today we're going to see the things that we have in common and the things that we're supposed to have in common. And Lord gave me a wonderful lesson last night. So I had to go to Dallas for a conference and meetings for the last couple days, and I'm flying back in, and it's 8:45. The plane's delayed last night. It's Southwest, so you know, you just find a seat. And so I go in, and there's two empty seats. I get a window seat. Fantastic. There's a guy on the outside. I'm going by the window. I'm thinking no one's going to want to sit between us. And this was a newer Southwest airplane, and like the headrest like folds. And so I'm folding the headrest. I'm leaning over. I'm like, oh, this is great. It has been a rough couple days. It's been a lot going on, and I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to take a nap and get home. All right? Well, the Lord did not allow such things, and he gave me the opportunity to actively participate in someone else's life. So this young college-age girl comes and sits in between the two of us. Well, fantastic. She will appreciate a middle-aged guy ignoring her and leaving her alone for the next hour. I can do this, right? So I got this, and I'm just leaning over. And she gets all settled, and she gets all going, and she opens up her book. She's reading a book. I look over and went, oh. Lord's going to make me participate in this one. I said, is this your first C.S. Lewis book? She's reading the Screwtape Letters. So I was just curious. I was like, I really wanted to mind my own business. I really wanted to just, you know, leave her to her book. And she said, yes. This is my first C.S. Lewis, and it's very interesting. I said, it is. That's a very interesting read. Well, we start talking about her book, and then we start talking about other things, and basically the things that we had in common. Turns out we're related. Those of you at White River, she's one of the counselors this summer. She was flying up from San Antonio to be a White River counselor. She's got family from Anton. She knows Shiloh. She is my cousin from Truby's side of the family, so it's by marriage, so it's not blood, but we are literally in the same tree. And so we talked for an hour. We talked about what she was doing. She's studying at A&M, and her family moved to San Antonio after she graduated, and she lived in Spring Lake Earth is where she's from, and then she flew up here to be a counselor at White River for the summer. I was like, you're going to run into our kids because all of our kids are out of White River. And so we're talking about this and this, and it got to the family connection, and I was like, wow. All these things that we had in common that God allowed to say, Michael, you're tired. It's been a week. I'm not done. Open your eyes and participate in what I got going on. So I had to. And it turned out to be a blessing. And I got to extend to her a blessing and encourage her for her summer of service while she is helping out at White River. And it was a wonderful reminder. I already had this lesson planned. The end of Acts chapter 4 and the beginning of Acts chapter 5. It is a lesson on participation, but I put it off for 3 weeks. Last week we had a lot of visitors. The week before that, half of you were gone. And Tony reminded me several weeks ago that I never preach about giving. And so I wasn't going to skip this one and just let it be heard by, you know, just a couple of us. I thought, okay, this is important. And then God allows me this participation last night at just the right time. This is the difference between participating with God and actively participating with God. Because it would have been so easy just to close my eyes and rest them for an hour after a long week. It would have been so easy to look past and just not been nosy enough to see wormwood at the bottom of that page. It would have been so easy to say, God, I'm done participating today. I just want to do my thing. And if we are open, when we are open, God gives us the opportunity to say, you're not done. You're not done until I say you're done. And that's the active part of participation. That's the true essence of koinonia. That's what it means to participate with God. That God's going to lead my steps. God's going to provide the power. And God is going to pour out the blessings when I just follow Him faithfully. And so in Acts chapter 4, we see, we've seen the apostles been in trouble. They've been arrested. They've been released. And they are sharing the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. And God's power is just working everywhere. And miracles are happening. And it says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had any need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is a difficult lesson for us. It's a difficult thing to hear. It's a difficult thing to say. But to realize that as we are participating in the work that God has given us to do in this world, this participation that He has called us to is not... It's all-encompassing. It's everything. My participation with the Lord is He wants all of me, and He wants everything. It's not a, where do you go where you pick and choose on the menu? What do we call that? What? All, thank you. Yes, that's the word. Yes, at a restaurant. You choose menu items a la carte, right? I'll take one of these and one of these and one of these. And it's not that. It's buffet. It is buffet. It is everything. It's all you can eat. And that's what's pointed out here in Acts chapter 4. God is working. They are together. They are filled with the Spirit and the whole place. Sonny said, we were driving in this morning. She said, hey, listen to this verse. I love this. This is my verse of the day that popped up, and it was verse 31. I said, ha, our lesson starts at 32, but I'm going to come back and catch 31. Because I don't know about you, but Thursday night I stood outside my house. I have never heard sustained thunder for over 10 minutes straight without a break. It was awesome. I mean, it was just a loud, continuous rumble in the sky. I mean, it was one of those that I just had, you know, for a fleeting second, I was like, you know, you can just open those and Jesus can show himself. That would be cool. I'd be all right with that. But they're all together in this house and they're filled with the Holy Spirit so much so that, I mean, it's just, it's electric. It's booming. The house is shaking. God is saying, we're doing something here. We're doing something here. And then he goes right into the next section. And he goes, hey, all these believers, they had all things in common. They had everything in common. They had everything in common. No one said, oh yeah, this is mine. And that is so, that's foreign. That is absolutely foreign because, you know, we love each other and we come together and we worship together. We share our lives together. I mean, we'll even help each other, but all things in common? No, I have my things, you have your things, and, you know, we'll each, as we see fit, give a little bit of our things for, you know, the common good or for someone else in need. But this is such a different picture of those who are filled with God's spiritual blessings and don't draw a line for what we would call physical blessings or earthly blessings, right? There's no difference. It's all from God. It's all from God. And what are we supposed to do with the gifts that God gives us? I mean, we all have a choice, right? We either glorify God or we enrich ourselves. That's what we do. Why do we have spiritual gifts? Or why do we not have spiritual gifts? What's the purpose of spiritual gifts? It's to build up the body, right? Exactly. So what's the purpose of our physical gifts? To build up the body? That's what we see the church do here in Acts chapter 4. They have all things in common. They come together and they're just like, hey, who needs something? Because I got it. God has given me something and I want to give it to someone else. So because their souls are united, and it says in verse 32, they were of one heart and soul. And maybe, I don't know, maybe in Ezekiel chapter 11, what God is showing the prophet, maybe he's pointing to something someday in the future like this, where he says, hey, when I work in you, that heart inside here, I'm going to give you a new one. I'm going to fill you with my soul. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. Because without God, our hearts are hard. I mean, even the best of us, even the nicest of us, our hearts are hard. I mean, we look at other people's situations and we go, oh, that's too bad. It's easy to have a hard heart. It's not so easy to have a soft heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that says, there's a need, I'm a solution. That's not so easy, right? We're not wired that way. We're wired that, you know, I have mine, I take care of mine, and I have a lot of nice friends. That's how we live the Christian life. And that's not what's going on in Acts chapter 4. So what they've got going on is because their souls are united, they are motivated to give to each other's what we would call physical needs. And in verse 32, one soul, one heart, And so even their things were not their own. And it says, but they had everything in what? Common. And again, active participation. Do we remember the Greek word for this? Koinonia. Common is the Greek word koine, which is the root of koinonia. So we're seeing it all throughout the book of Acts. We're seeing it all here. God is saying, I'm doing something great in this world, and you're a part of it. We're working together. And it's not just you and I working together for the good of one another and for the good of the lost. It is us working together with the Lord, the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are working together for God's kingdom. We can't do it without Him. And the amazing thing is, He's not going to do it without us. It's a partnership. It's participation. It's very humbling, because we know where the power comes from and we know where the glory goes to. But God has seen fit to extend that to me, so I get to participate in what He's got going on. God has seen fit to extend that to you so that you can participate in what He has going on. So, in Acts chapter 4, they sold their things to help those in need. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4 that Chris read for us, Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul encourages us to walk, in chapter 4, verse 1, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Paul says, hey, look, you have to understand the price that was paid to save you from your sin, to make you a Christian. That is a wonderful calling, to have your life molded in the direction of Jesus. And now that it has been done for you, you need to live like it. You need to live like it. Christians should look like Christ. Right? Okay, that shouldn't shock us. It should bother us a little bit, just by the ways in which you and I go, oh, I would really just rather close my eyes and not participate in this right now. I'd really just rather do my own thing and not allow God to lead my steps where He wants me to go. I've got other plans. I'd rather not participate today, Lord. I'd rather rest. I'd rather play. I'd rather work. I'd rather just do whatever. I'd rather accomplish my plans. And God is saying, I want you to participate in what I've got going in my kingdom. And so Paul reminds us here in Ephesians chapter 4, and he says, he encourages us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. That sounds a lot like us too, right? Eager to maintain unity and peace. Too often you and I are just eager to go, well, if it's not my way, forget it. Right? If it doesn't serve me, I'm out. If it doesn't make me happy, no thanks. No, Paul says the calling of Jesus makes us eager to maintain unity, the bonds of peace, that we are going to do everything we possibly can to work together, to be one, to be together. And then he lists all these things that we have in common. And this is very important here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit. You are called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And church, you and I are just like, amen. Look at all these wonderful things that we have in common, right? We've been called to follow Jesus together. We serve the same God. We have the same origin, the same Father. We have the same Savior. We have these wonderful spiritual things that God has provided for us in common. And we love that, don't we? We absolutely love that. And then Acts chapter 4 comes along and says, oh yeah, by the way, your stuff, that's in common too. Well, I like the Ephesians 4 in common, right? Man, I'm going to pray for you. I love you. We're going to worship together. We're going to make some holy noise. I love all the spiritual things that God has given us in common. And then we see the early church and they're like, huh, spiritual things that God has given us, the physical things that God has blessed me with. You and I have gotten all too comfortable with the habit of tearing asunder things God has not torn asunder. I got my spiritual me, and I got my physical me. I got my church Michael, and I got my work Michael. I got my Sunday Michael, and I got my Tuesday Michael. Yeah, it's Sunday. Yeah, we'll deal with the Sunday stuff, but you know, tomorrow's Monday Michael. And Monday Michael will deal with Monday stuff. And we have done a masterful job of separating things. I don't think that's what it's supposed to look like. I think all these spiritual things that God has given us and blessed us with is supposed to make a real difference where we are. And it's all together. It's all together. Besides, I mean, he tells us a house divided is going to what? It's going to fall. It's going to fall, but you and I are very comfortable living in a divided house. That house is here, but we're very comfortable dividing things, compartmentalizing things. Right? There's the church me. There's the home me. And again, I mean, this is just one example, but think about the sin you're holding on to. Think about that thing you got in your life that you're refusing to let go of, you're refusing to repent of, that just darkness right here that you're just going, man, I'm glad these people don't know about this. It would not make me look good. They wouldn't look at me the same. They wouldn't shake my hand the same. They definitely wouldn't hug me the same. Glad they don't know about this that I'm holding on to. You and I do an amazing job of compartmentalizing, just putting things in little areas and not being whole. We do the same thing with our so-called spiritual blessings that Paul's talking about in Ephesians 4, and then what we like to call our physical blessings. Church, here's what I want us to see. For those of us who share in spiritual things, which are eternal, then sharing things like money, possessions, should be very easy because they're not going to last. If we can share eternal things, it ought to be easy to share temporary things, right? That's what I'm seeing in Acts chapter 4. Let's go back to Acts. Because we get this, and everyone will be familiar with this part of the story. Acts chapter 5, everybody's doing this. And you got this married couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they are caught up in just the magic of all the giving. And hey, we want to be a part of this. We want to be involved. Because everyone's just saying, hey, if this can help somebody else, I mean, I've got it. The Lord has blessed me. And I realize now that being made a part of God's family, that the Lord has blessed me to be a blessing. That God has given to me so that I can give to somebody else. He is partnering with me. Or better yet, he's asking me to partner with him. God wants to bless, and he is allowing me to be a part of that. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they're caught up in it. And you can't blame them, because sometimes we get caught up in it, right? Sometimes we just, I want to do that. Which again, when the Holy Spirit moves you to do or to give, don't stop and think about it. Because as soon as we stop and think about it, what happens? We'll find all the reasons why that's really not the best thing to be doing right now. Right? You ever talked yourself out of giving something? Like the Spirit moves you and you're like, man, that is a, we have had a prayer request or we've had a need in the body and I can do that. And then maybe I can do a little less than that. Or somebody needs something. You say, I'm going to be there for them and I'm going to go do that. And then you get to thinking about it and maybe not. Or even if someone says, hey, would you pray for me in this? Yes, I will. And you don't go through the actual decision making, you just don't do it. You can't stop and think about things. Because when we do, then the enemy comes in and goes, hey, nice commitment, but you don't really need to do that. You got other things going on. You're busy. These are important things. Don't do that. Well, Ananias and Sapphira get caught up in all of this selling and giving. And it says in verse 1, a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? So why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Now, show of hands, who has heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira before? All right, thank you. Thank you. Now, a little perspective. The young men who were digging the graves, yeah, that's who this would have been. It would have been you guys. Can you imagine going to a church service and you're like, somebody dies? Oh, okay. And it would have been you guys. Wrap them up, take them out back, bury the body. You come back in, you know, get a glass of water, come back into the church. There's another one. Seriously? Never thought about the story like that, did you? What kind of church service is this? Well, it's a church service that I'm going to be asking, what did they do? I don't want to do that. Right? Yeah. They come in and they're just so filled with the Spirit. They are so motivated. I can do this. The Lord has blessed me with something. And so I'm going to sell it and we're going to take some of the money and we're going to just give it to God. We're going to put it, we want to help too, Peter. Except they took their land, they sold it, and they said, hey, okay, so we're going to give this money to help somebody else, but we're going to keep some of it. So we'll just, you know, be like everybody else, and we'll just tell them, yeah, yeah, we sold it. We sold it, you know. We got $1,000 for it. You know, no, okay. We got $1,000 for it, and here's the $1,000. And they actually got $1,500, and the $500 is at home. And Peter just looks at him and goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? One body, one Lord, one Father, one baptism, one hope. We have these things in common. Why are you lying to us? Why are you lying to the Spirit? Why are you lying to God? Do you really think that you can get away with this? Dead. Now, again, And just in case your heart's wanting to take you there, all right, the early church is not communist. All right, that's not what this is. Okay? Giving is voluntary. And when I say voluntary, I mean you're moved by the Spirit to give. Did he have to sell his land? No, was the church saying, okay, everybody, you can no longer have personal property. You cannot own anything. Bring it all and give it to us. Did they do that? No, they did not. And in fact, Peter says, he says, Ananias, come on, this was your choice. He says in, was it verse 3? Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? Why have you allowed Satan to lie? Why are you lying? What? Why? And he told him in verse 4, while it was your land, was it not yours? Well, yeah, it was mine, okay? No one made you sell your land. You did this freely. And then, and after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? In other words, if you sold the land for $1,500, all you had to do was not say, hey, we sold the land for $1,000, here it all is. You just say, hey, God blessed us with some land. We can give this much of it. We want to help some other people. And Peter's like, all you do is be honest. But instead, you're lying to God. Why? 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 It's not a safe place to be, is it? No. I mean, you're going to have the boys carrying you out back, digging a hole. That's not good. That's not good at all. I don't know. For me, I just kind of picture Luke just walking back in, just pulling a bandana out of his back pocket, just wiping his forehead. That's tough work. It's not easy to bury a body. Getting back in and, there's another one. Really? Here we go again. Peter does the same thing to his wife. They come in separately. And Peter just gives her the chance, hey, did you really sell it for that much? Well, yes, that's the lie we've agreed upon. So yes, that's how much we sold it for. These young men, I mean, they still have dirt on their feet from when they just got in from digging the last hole. Now they're going to have to do it again. It's a crazy story, right? It is. It is. I'll be honest with you. I don't think the crazy part of the story is the fact that God killed somebody who lied. I think the crazy part of the story is that the early church just did not make the distinctions that the modern church does. I think the crazy part of the story is how much you and I rely upon our own personal property rights, our own personal direction of our time and our energy, and how often and how much you and I decide what is ours and what is the Lord's. I think that's the tough part of the story. God's called us to something different. It really is something different. It is. This whole thing is something different. Participating with Him, it looks different. It really does. And some of it, looks kind of crazy to us. But the more I study it, I think it just looks as crazy because that's how much of the world that we've allowed to creep in. And we've just become callous. We've just done such a wonderful job of compartmentalizing. Because we're not only compartmentalizing the stuff that we freely give to God and the stuff that we hold in here. I mean, come on. We do the same thing with compartmentalizing for the Scriptures. Oh, that's an eternal promise. No, that's a back then promise. Those words of God last forever. Yeah, that was situational. Come on. We do this all over the place. We've done it our whole lives. God calls us to actively participate in what He is doing in the world still today. I either believe it or I don't. And if I don't, what's the point? But if I do, what's that need to look like? What does that mean for us? How are we going to actively participate in what God is doing in the world right here, right now? Where is His Spirit leading us to be a part of what He wants to accomplish? What are we doing? What's He doing? How's He doing it? And how do we make sure that we see it? How do we make sure that we are open and available and willing to say, yeah, yeah, that's what it looks like? It's a different way to look at things. Active participation, it's a little more involved. And I'm sorry because I've got that silly analogy. I think my dad was the one that taught me this one. And this is not against him. I'm sure you've heard it too. But you ever heard that, and he'll tell it better than I will. Okay, breakfast. The chicken's involved, but the pig is committed. Okay, good. So I'm not the only one who heard this. Did I say it correctly? Okay, ham and eggs, right? The chicken's involved, the pig's committed. Yeah, that's the story that's going through my head as I was about to come up here this morning. It's ham and eggs, or bacon and eggs, whatever. Are we chicken? Or are we the pig? Are we involved? Or are we committed? Because being committed is it's a little costlier. It's a little costlier to follow the biblical example of the church. And then ask the tough questions of what does that look like for Sunrise? What does that look like for us? Where is God leading us? Where does God want us to be involved? Where does God want us to participate? What's that look like? I think that involves some more time of you and I being together and having everything in common and having our energy in common and having our prayers lift up together and saying, Lord, lead our steps. What do you want Sunrise to be? And not just you and I just showing up and say, hey, what a week. Good to see you. Let's sing a song. I think it looks a little different than how we play it. I think that's for all of us, right? Maybe not. But maybe. But maybe. And if nothing else from Ananias and Sapphira, God's kind of serious about it. At least a little bit. Right, Luke? Exactly. Exactly. Luke knows. He's tired already. All right. So church, the Lord invites us to participate. Jesus did His part. He died on the cross for our sins. And the Lord would not abandon His soul to Hades. He was restored and given His glory. The Lord did His part. And now He comes back and He says, all right, I'm inviting you to do your part. So, our part's not salvation. Salvation is His part. But being His body, that means active participation. That means finding our part and being willing to do that. So let's do that together. Because it looks pretty exciting. Well, it's kind of fun. So, if you need anything this morning, the Lord's here for you.